The world don't understand how that the things of the cross still profoundly move us. They have a profound impact upon us. We look back at the cross and we see our Savior suffering for us, taking our place and being our substitute. And we love Him. He first loved us when we were undeserving of any kind of love and unworthy. Oh, the cross. What an emblem of love it is to a fallen race. There's redeeming grace at the cross. And we have experienced that redemption and that forgiveness. You know, there at that place, there's so much that transpired in the spiritual realm that we, scholars and professors and studiers of Scripture, still to this day, have been unable to really understand. There's a depth to it that still has not been scratched. The surface of it has not been scratched. All of the evil, all of the debauchery and treachery and everything that could ever come out of the evils of a depraved heart were manifested and consecrated on that place. I can't grasp all of that, but I believe what the Bible says. But when that blood was shed, it covered it all. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Something on your heart today. Maybe there's somebody else that would like to testify of the saving grace of God or praise Him in some way. And I don't want to be a hindrance in any way to you. And if the Lord is leading you, that's what we need is if the Lord is leading you, just follow the Lord today. I bless you. He's about double the size today than he was when he was 9. Someone else want to praise the Lord. I'm glad that this church provides the liberty for those that are young, if they feel led of the Lord, amen, to testify of the saving grace of God. They can get up in our services and they can testify to the saving grace of God. It's real. Amen. Praise His sweet name. It's a real thing that you must experience for yourself. And one of the things that testimony does is it solidifies the fact that the forgiveness and the peace and the grace of God has to be experienced personally. Amen. It's a personal experience that you must have with the Lord. You have to have a Zacchaeus experience. You have to have one of those experiences where you're like where he was in a sycamore tree. And the Lord calls out your name. Like Nathaniel, there beside of that tree. I don't know what went on there, but Jesus knew all about that experience he had in that place. And I'll tell you, when he conveyed and looked back at that place where he had that experience, Nathanael knew that this was the Savior and this was the Messiah, because I believe at that place is where he believed, where he experienced the saving grace of God. He believed in the coming Messiah, and the Messiah knew all about it. Nathanael come to know him, and the Lord knew Nathanael. And he needs to know you. No. Listen, the cause of Jesus Christ, we'll move on. And I'll tell you, Victory Church, listen to me and listen to me good. If you don't listen to the Lord will move on without you. Amen. God have mercy. If we cannot see the handwritings on the wall from time to time, it's not about us. And any church that moves into that arena where it's about them or a person, they're losing sight of it being about the Lord. And if He is not the main attraction, the candlestick will be gone. And let me say this, if you have ears to hear, please hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I believe Victory Church is going to, I want to encourage the young people. You do the right thing. If it hair lips every cow in Texas, little B.D. Carter stuff for you. You do the right thing. You follow the Lord no matter what people say about you or think about you. You do what God is saying. And I believe the generation that rises up with clean hands and a willing heart, the Lord will be with them and He'll be with that group when He comes back in a cloud of glory. Amen. Yeah. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Jesus said there'll be faith here when He comes back. I believe the Word of God. But it's up to us to stay true. We got to stay true to the Lord. His way, His Word, His doctrines, His teaching, His Spirit. We've got to follow Him. You know, we're in a battle, people. The weapons, the Apostle Paul said, by divine inspiration, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. To the pulling down of the strongholds. We can pray to the pulling down of the strongholds. I started a series on every second Sunday night with the young people about how they need to arm themselves for the coming problems, the coming judgments. If the Lord tarries, is coming, judgment's coming upon America. And I've been talking to them about the armor, and He talks about the principalities and the powers in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, how that they're there to try to overthrow us and to destroy us. He said we fight against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. He talked about all these forces of evil, the darkness of evil that is raging against the Christian. But we can arm ourselves with the whole armor of God. And we can stand. Amen. If we just mount up in this warfare, we can stand. But one of the most important ingredients of that warfare is praying always with all prayer and supplication. I believe in prayer. And church, listen. You need to always believe in prayer. We gathered around many at... And I see you, and I almost got thrown out of Centennial this week, praying. I almost got thrown out of Hendersonville, praying for him. Listen, when you're at your last, at your end of your rope, and it seems like all hope is gone, when you don't know what to say, just call on Jesus. And I'll just be honest with you, you know, sometimes I get a hold of the Lord when I'm praying. I mean, I get a hold of the Lord, and I don't care who's listening, and I don't care who's there. I'm going to pray. And you know, when you come into His presence, and He shows up any place, and we just need to call on His name. He's the answer when there is no answer. He's the hope when there's no hope. He's healing when there seems to be no help in healing. He is our hope and He is our healing. And we can call on His name. We can pray on it. We can call on Him. We can pray to Him with all prayer and supplication, and He will hear His people. But in this warfare, listen, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to lay hold of the Lord. You're going to have to get answers. You're going to have to get strength. You're going to have to mount up with the armor of God. Have the helmet of salvation. Listen, children, you need to know first of all that you're saved. That you're under the blood. That your sins have been forgiven. You need the breastplate of not your righteousness, but His righteousness. You need the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Just like Abraham received. Abraham, believe God concerning the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior. He believed God and it was accounted or put to his account for righteousness. He didn't receive righteousness on his own. It was the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need that. You need your loins girded about with truth. I tell you, we're living in a generation of liars, and we need truth to gird our loins. Listen, if you've got the truth, it'll stand when this world's on fire. You need to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to be anxious and excited about the gospel. We need to try to take the gospel to the world. Listen, I don't want the world coming in here and thinking that we're a bunch of crazy people. I want them to see that the power of God rests on us. We need to be witnesses for Him, sharing that Jesus saves. He saves. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever want to go to heaven, you have to go to the cross and look on Him whom you pierced and see the shed blood of Jesus atoning for your sins. Man, we need the shield of faith. There's ever been a day we need to have trust in the Lord? We're trusting in. Listen, we will collapse on ourselves if we trust on the traditions of the past. We have to have faith in God. Amen. Trust in the Lord. I mean, put our shield of faith up. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we have the capacity to quench every single fiery dart of Satan against us if we'll just simply wear the armor. Amen. One of them, he can't get to us. But we've got to believe. We've got to trust in Him. We've got to put our faith in Him. And we've got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'll tell you something. I preach a lot of stuff in this pulpit, and you ever have any concerns or about what I've said or what I preached, I will send you my outline. You can study it from the Word of God yourself. I tell you, if there's ever been a time we need the preaching of the Word, it's now. Not opinions, not ideas of men, but what the Word of God says. That's important, isn't it? Listen, the Word of God will get down in the place of a person that nothing else will. It'll cut to the very joints and marrows. It'll discern the thoughts and intents. The Word of God, if the Word of God would simply be preached, it will lay you open before a holy God. It'll expose the different imaginations and ideas and thoughts and intents of your heart and how contradictory and how they're in contrast with the holy God's ways and ideas. It will be in conflict with Him, and you'll see that you need to change. God's not going to change. You're going to have to change. You're the one that has to repent, not God. You know, we don't conform God to us. We conform ourselves to God. And we just submit to Him. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, there's times where the devil tries to get us to doubt. There's times where the devil tries to get us not to believe and trust and think that this doesn't work or that doesn't work. But this works. Amen. It works. I'm going to hold on to it. Now listen, I don't believe I believe in the preaching of the Word. If you're coming here to hear some kind of fairy tale or see some kind of drama or something like that, that's not going to happen. You need the preaching of God's holy Word. The Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Apostle Paul told the young minister Timothy in 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, I charge you before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, preach the Word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. If there's ever been a time we need to hear preaching that reproves us, it's now. We need to stay on course, don't we? We need to follow the Lord. We need to do it His way. We need to work for Him. The world needs the preaching of the cross. They need that. I'm thankful for Victory Church too. But I think we all know just how vulnerable we are. Don't we? No matter how strong we get, we've got to cling to the Lord with all of our might. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Just surrender before the Lord. Though we have this beautiful armor, we've got to stay clinging to the Lord. Surrender to Him. I'm thankful for the for the Sunday school lesson. And I believe in that kind of submission and surrenderance to the Lord. Listen, if there's never been a time in your life where God told you to do something you didn't want to do, maybe you're not following the right God. I mean, if the Lord's never gotten a hold of you and said, this is my way, and you conform to my way, it's not about your way, it's about my way, maybe you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He said, he that obeys me, he that loves me, he that keeps my commandments, he it is I will come and manifest myself unto you. Praise God. We've got to do it. We have no choice. We have to do it because we need him. We need him. The church needs him. Your children need him. You need him. Your home needs him. Your family needs him. Your soul needs him. We need him. We've got to stay surrendered to him. We need him. Man, we need him now more than ever. We need him now more than ever. Do you love the Lord today? Oh, man. Isn't he good to us? He is so good to us. We haven't gotten anything like we deserve to have. We haven't gotten what we deserve. He's extended us mercy. No wonder the psalmist over and over again said that his mercies endure forever. Oh, give praise to the God of God, for his mercies endure forever. Oh, love the Lord God Almighty, for his mercies endure forever. Oh, the Lord is good, and he's good. He's always good, and his mercies endure forever. Over and over and over again, he kept saying, his mercies endure forever. You know what mercy is? It's God withholding what sinners deserve. He has withheld what we really deserve to get. He's been merciful to us. He sure has. He's been merciful to me. I'll speak for myself. He's been merciful to me. His grace. Mercy is just him withholding what we really deserve. Grace is us getting what we don't deserve. We've gotten a lot. He's withheld his wrath, and he's given us his blessing. Wow. Mercy and grace. Grace and mercy. We need more preaching on mercy and grace. We're saved by grace through faith, and his mercies endure forever. Praise God. Well, I'm done. I'm not going to preach any more than this today. You guys are just going to follow the Lord from here on out. And